for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're with Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio. It is Monday. Happy Monday. So good to be with all of you tonight. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I am revved up and raring to go. Tonight, we're kicking off a week of must-listen interviews right here on the Shannon Joy Show with the hottest headlines from across the globe as we, the little people, come together to rage against the darkness of COVID tyranny, World War III nuclear edition, and the Great Reset. It's your daily dose of truth and light in a world that seems to have gone mad. So before we get to the headlines tonight, mark your calendars. Tomorrow, we are going to welcome the amazing Dr. Peter McCullough once again into the Joy Virtual Studios. He is recently Twitter banned, deplatformed for too much truth. On his platform, he's going to be talking about censorship, the draconian new laws coming out of the state of California, and other COVID news. Do not miss that interview tomorrow, Wednesday. Our good friend, Steve Kirsch, he is a Silicon Valley tech entrepreneur, one of the most brilliant members of Team Reality. His Substack is absolutely unbelievable. If you want the data and the stats on all of the lies regarding COVID mania and the COVID fascism, that's where you want to go. We're going to talk about how to win. It's time to stop the lamenting and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and the fetal position, the woe is me. It is time for we, the people, Team Reality, to stand up and go on offense. The goal now is to win. They are back on their heels. And I have a lot of evidence on that front for you guys tonight. Great headlines. On Thursday, Maria Z, one of my favorite Aussie investigative reporter. She is independent out of Sydney, Australia, and she's going to join me for the full hour to talk about the Great Reset, the global tyranny. She has some of the best interviews in international media today, and she's also going to talk about the frankly horrific new forced vaccination policies coming out of Australia. Terrifying plans that they have for we, the little people, in the 21st century. And the question is, in the 21st century, will we be free or will we be slaves? I'd prefer to be free. I don't know about all of you. And that's why we come here every evening. And it is a joy and a blessing, let me tell you, to be with you guys every night. So Team Reality lives here on the Shannon Joy Show as we bring you the news and perspectives from the brightest minds in media today. And so that is what we have planned for the week. As always, on Friday, Owen Stevens will join me to recap the week and all of the madness. And hopefully we can get to the truth. Now, tonight, we're going to give you the headlines that matter the most. There is indeed so much going on. You're being hit from left and right, 24/7 news media cycle operates at a breakneck pace. It is information overload. I do believe that is by design, but I think that more and more people are beginning to home in on this idea of being very discerning when it comes to the news and the information that you're going to consume, right? There's a lot of fluff out there, things that don't matter from both the left-wing news media outlets and also right-wing, a lot of election coverage that is just kind of mindless polling and new polling and this candidate, that candidate. You know, I encourage everyone to vote, obviously, in the upcoming elections. I plan on voting myself in the upcoming elections, but the idea here on the Shannon Joy Show is that that is the very least that we can do. Because we understand at a very basic level that in so many ways, our electoral system is completely rigged. We can't trust it. Dinesh D'Souza's 2000 Mules is a perfect example of this idea. And so why we would put all of our eggs in this very uncertain basket of electoral politics is beyond me. We shouldn't do that. We should do that at the very least. But After that, commit ourselves, each individual, to local civics, local activism, finding your groups, and stopping the global plans at the point of implementation, which is the local level, which we're going to look at tonight. President Trump, former President Trump, just tweeted out, or he didn't tweet, he put it on Truth Social, that he's now advocating paper ballots. I mean, that is how much distrust there is in the system. And when you layer on top of the distrust in the actual system, the voting machines, in the actual practice of voting, when you layer on top of that the fact that in many cases across the United States of America, we're engaging in a false choice operation, meaning the Rhino Republicans pretty much dominate the party and the platforms and the legislation and the initiatives. And so even if you get a Republican in office, they will be consumed by the party, they will be destroyed by the party, no matter how good they are. And so the question is, after you elect these people and put them in office, will they make good on their promises? Can they make good on their promises? Do they have the political will to make good on their promises? That's the big question. And there are a lot of ifs there. There's a lot of uncertainty there. And so this is why I advocate. I marvel at how peaceful I am during this electoral season. I sleep like a baby. I don't worry about it at all. Yes, I'm going to vote, but you can't predict the ways that they'll cheat, the ways that they'll lie or manipulate. And so when you pull yourself out, at least the emotional aspect of it, when you pull yourself out of that stress and anxiety of, oh my gosh, who's going to win in this next election cycle, and realize that there are so many more things that you can do, that you can control within your own community. So even if you do lose this election, or your favorite candidate loses the election, or your favorite candidate wins the election, but then stabs you in the back and betrays you, and joins the Great Resetters, you still have other options, right? There are still other things that you can do. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And so that's why we try to steer people's minds here, or I try to steer people's attention to examples of people in their own communities making a difference, standing up, and stopping these plans at the point of the local level. Lots and lots of examples of that today, which we're going to get to. So we're going to hit those headlines that matter the most to you. So let's get started. First, the deadly jabs. It's probably the number one story on the face of the planet today. The just horrific human cost that we are now beginning to understand more fully of these deadly mRNA experimental vaccines, which we now know, based on recent studies, are actually not even vaccines. They are pharmaceutical products, but they're not vaccines in the traditional sense, just wreaking havoc on humanity across the globe. And it is a very common story. It's a very shared story. Doesn't matter where you live. Scotland, Ireland, Australia, UK, Poland, Germany, the United States of America, Canada, doesn't matter. These experimental jabs were pushed on humanity, and we were lied to about the safety and the efficacy. And there is anecdotal data, and there is also actual hard data. Just a tragic story out of the blaze. And this was a headline this morning. Democratic representative, elective official out of Illinois, Sean Casten, it's just revealed that his 17-year-old daughter, Gwen, passed away earlier this year due to sudden cardiac arrhythmia, the family noted in a statement. Tragically, this young woman in the prime of her life, beautiful, healthy, on June 15th, which happens to be my birthday, which I noticed, just passed. I mean, all of the sudden. And there really isn't an explanation for it. But this is the statement from the family. And this is the type of, I don't want to say delusion, but it is a delusion that they cannot even see. I don't even know if this family can even comprehend the connection to you know, this tragic event and vaccination. But this was the statement from the family. In layman's terms, she was fine and then her heart stopped. Guys, this is not normal. The statement explained, noting that the young woman was healthy and that the family does not know the reason of the heart issue that occurred. This is from the statement again. Gwen was a healthy 2022 teenager. She ate well, exercised, got regular checkups, didn't suffer from any behavioral health issues, and had a close relationship with her family and friends. She was fully vaccinated and quarantined after occasional positive asymptomatic COVID tests during the Omicron wave. She had just come home from an evening with friends, went to bed, and didn't wake up, the family noted. We are heartbroken, but we are not unique. Sudden unexplained heart failure among young healthy people is rare but real. We are left grasping at the wrong end of random chance, the statement said. None of us knows when our last heartbeat will come. Just tragic. And here they are grasping, and I'm sure people are telling them, oh, well, this just happens. Young, healthy, beautiful individuals with no health problems whatsoever just die in their sleep. Sudden adult death syndrome. It's just something that happens. No, it's not. No, it's not. And here in the statement, they even say fully vaccinated, meaning double or triple vaxxed, double vaxxed and boosted. Yet they don't even connect the two. And this is one of the more tragic elements of what I'm seeing anecdotally in my own corner of the world. I don't know if you guys are seeing this as well. Friends and family who are literally having horrific adverse events, Bell's palsy and seizures and rashes and heart attacks, strokes, blood clots. And they'll say to you, yeah, I got vaccinated today. And, a week went by and I ended up with this ailment or this serious health problem. And they don't even put it together. They don't even put it together because they've been so profoundly brainwashed under mountains of propaganda. It's astounding to witness. But that's just one tragic story. Just this past week on Savion Smith, he's of the Detroit Lions, a NFL football player. Now he is out, they're saying now due to a neck injury, right? But I went back and looked at the tape. This happened in one of the football games over the past weekend here in the United States of America. And I watched the tape, very little contact. Basically, he missed a tackle and just hit the ground hard, was just out. I mean, his entire team surrounding him for quite some time. He was carted off the field. They're saying now that it was a neck injury. But again, it didn't even look like there was any contact. I mean, there was very little contact and he just hit the ground out of nowhere. What possibly could that have been? He's added now to the growing list of athletes in the prime of their careers, specimens of health and good physical fitness, perfect physical fitness, just dropping dead on the tennis court, the football field, the soccer field, you name it. One after another after another. This is not normal. And if the anecdotes don't convince you, let's just take a peek at the data. This is a bombshell piece by Daniel Horowitz. I've been telling you about the mountains of data that is coming out. The data is coming out so quickly that I cannot keep up with it, honestly, on this radio show. I would need hours and hours a day to go and really look at all of the data that is pouring in from across the globe in terms of the dangers surrounding these mRNA pharmaceutical products. I think I really need to condition myself to not call them vaccines any longer, because this is what we're looking at. Here's the headline, and we're gonna get into this in the next segment. Daniel Horowitz, Conservative Review, this is posted on The Blaze, 5 shocking new studies and data points that nuke the COVID shots. Okay. And the first study that he points to is one that was done by Italian researchers, published in the Pharmacological Analysis of COVID Shots in the International Journal of Molecular Sciences, nearly 2 years after these products were foisted upon 5.35 billion human beings, often multiple times, under the false pretense of the jabs acting like vaccines. In this study, they say unequivocally that these injections are not vaccines, not even by a long shot. Not even by a long shot. These quote unquote vaccines are actually pharmaceutical drugs, okay? And they must be properly characterized to provide a solid background of knowledge for their rationale and targeted use. They need to stop playing dice with these products. This is a stunner, but that's just one of five shocking new studies that we're gonna look at when we come back as we hit the headlines tonight, right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
Politically incorrect on TNT Radio.
Do you think that the medical profession has been really dumbed down in the last 15 or 20 years?
Well, I think they probably have in a way, and without even realizing it, because the pharmaceutical industry, big pharma, let's use the word big pharma, since the mid-1980s has had a blank check on vaccine development, where they've been relieved of any, you know, and they're immune from any legal attacks, any class actions, right, against vaccine injury. That's basically what happened in the mid-1980s. So they're now just producing any old thing, whether it works or not. So, you know, they're getting away with extraordinary...
Sounds like 007 to me.
Yeah, but I think along with that, with their massive propaganda campaigns that all doctors experience in their surgeries, you know, with information sheets, flyers from pharmaceutical companies, drug companies all the time, the invitations to lectures or, you know, to go to seminars, and then the actual bribery, you know, actually paying people money to give public lectures, paying people money to go to conferences, funding their research, all that sort of stuff, compromises the medical profession in a big way. But I think the compromising began in the medical schools.
Weekends are better when you spend it with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
In June, the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, the one full of radical enemies of democracy, they struck down New York City's law, which made it almost impossible for a citizen to get a permit to carry a gun. They had to prove that they needed self-protection. In response, the left wing pulled a fast one. A new law that went into effect September 1st requiring that all new applicants submit years of their social media posts. They also had to submit four character references. And you can't carry your gun in so-called sensitive locations, including schools, colleges, government buildings, medical facilities, public transit, bars, or restaurants that serve alcohol, and the whole area known as Times Square and parks. Well, folks, six New Yorkers sued, and on Thursday, a federal judge temporarily blocked parts of this sham law, including the moral character and social media portions, and he shortened the list of sensitive zones to schools, colleges, and government buildings. The left tried to be too cute, and they got caught. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
You have the power of information, lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
You often hear me refer to the mountains of data just piling on from across the globe regarding these mRNA spike protein laden COVID-19 pricks. We're not going to call them vaccines anymore because the data is in, the research is in, safety and efficacy just pummeling. I mean, this is becoming common knowledge. We're beginning to see health officials speak to this. The Florida Surgeon General is a really good example of this. He's coming out, he is speaking out publicly on the problem of safety and efficacy. This is the first that we've seen in the United States of America from government officials. And it's coming out of the state of Florida, led by Governor Ron DeSantis. This is a very important development. Now, the Florida Surgeon General, his tweet questioning the safety and efficacy of the mRNA pricks was taken down by Twitter because it violated their censorship rules. It violated their misinformation standards, apparently. And so he has been, now he hasn't been taken off of Twitter, but he has certainly been deplatformed in the sense of this tweet, which shows you how important it is to them to keep a lid on this boiling pot of water. They're not going to be able to do it because the data keeps emerging. Great write-up and summary, very well researched and hyperlinked by Daniel Horowitz of The Blaze, the headline of his recent piece, Five Shocking New Studies and Data Points That Absolutely Nuke the COVID Shots. And the first one came from Italian researchers that was published in the International Journal of Molecular Sciences. And essentially, and this is linked in Daniel's piece, if you want to go read it yourself, they're saying essentially these are not vaccines, first and foremost. This has been a complete scam. These are not vaccines. They are pharmaceutical drugs. They are products. They are technologies. They are in no way, shape, or form vaccines in the way that we understand and most medical researchers, scientists, and physicians understand vaccines to be. And so that's the first bombshell. The second bombshell comes from Germany. Two German pathologists entered in a case study, an autopsy of a 76-year-old man with Parkinson's disease. And in this study, which was published by the German pathologist in the prestigious journal Vaccines, found severe inflammation in the brain tissue and heart attributable to the shots. They proved correlation and causation, right? They proved that the shots caused this inflammation in the brain tissue and in the heart. And this was done after an autopsy, showing extensive brain and heart damage. This is a tragic case study of this elderly man who was double vaxxed and boosted. What they found, importantly, they found only spike antibodies without any nucleocapsid antibodies, meaning that this individual, this human being, this person with a soul and a wife, children, grandchildren, friends and family, a person with value, okay? These studies are tragic because they lump these people, these anonymous people who were lied to. They believed that they were helping society. They believed they were keeping their grandchildren safe or their loved ones safe. They believed that they were doing the right thing, and it killed them. Can't overstate the tragedy here. You can't overstate it. So importantly, they found, though, that the spike antibodies, they only found spike antibodies without any nucleocapsid antibodies, meaning that this individual was only exposed to the shots and not the actual virus. Until now, many pharma apologists, and you'll hear this from your friends and family, who will say, oh, it's not the COVID-19 vaccine, it's COVID. It's long COVID, right? I'm having this inflammation, these heart problems, the blood clots, the strokes, you name it. Shingles, Bell's palsy, seizures, epilepsies. I'm having this because of COVID, because I got COVID the virus, and this study just obliterates that. And so they blame the rash of sudden encephalitis and myocarditis on the virus, but as the authors note, quote, the findings corroborate previous reports of encephalitis and myocarditis caused by gene-based COVID-19 vaccines that are not vaccines. They're pricks, they're technologies, they're pharmaceutical drugs, but they're not vaccines. And this is just so sad. He died following his third shot in December of 2021. But after his first shot, he had experienced pronounced cardiovascular side effects, which he repeatedly had to call his doctor for. So he got the first jab and was beginning to have heart issues and side effects. He went to his doctor multiple times. Then he got his second shot and had, according to the study, increased anxiety, lethargy, and social withdrawal, right? Because now they're telling him that he's crazy. He's saying, I don't feel well. I don't feel good. I got the second shot. And they're like, oh, it's in your head. It's mental illness. You're just anxious. And so he went back, this beautiful 79-year-old man. I don't even know him. But he went back for the third shot because they told him to do it. Maybe they threatened him with losing something. Maybe he couldn't go to the opera, or maybe he couldn't go to his favorite pub, or maybe he couldn't see his grandchild or his daughter because they were wrapped up in this madness. And this poor, poor soul went back to get his third shot, the booster. He had already been declining rapidly, even before the third shot, suffering severe motor impairment and recurrent need for wheelchair support. And the man in the study never fully recovered from the shots by the time he got his booster in December, and he was dead 2 weeks later. He collapsed while eating dinner without coughing or any signs of food aspiration. If not for his family paying for the autopsy, we would not have this information about cause of death that likely occurred in countless thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of either young or old vaccinated people. Just tragic. When we come back, we're going to look at some more of these studies. This is the biggest story on the face of the planet today, and we need to get out the information as much as we possibly can. We'll be back in a moment right here on the Shannon Joy Show.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Russia has fired missiles across Ukraine, targeting critical infrastructure, for what President Putin claims is retaliation for acts of terrorism. There are fears Belarus may be looking for an excuse to formally join the war in Ukraine after it accused Kyiv of planning to attack them. Julian Assange has tested positive for COVID. The WikiLeaks founder started feeling unwell last week and now faces days of isolation in his cell.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
I highly, highly recommend this piece by Daniel Horowitz in Conservative Review, featured on The Blaze, 5 Shocking New Studies and Data Points That Nuke the COVID Shots. And the reason I like this piece, it's hyperlinked. It has all of the studies. You can go and read them yourself. We mentioned the Italian researchers who have released a study showing that, nah, these are not vaccines. These are not vaccines. These are pharmaceutical drugs. They are very different than traditional vaccines. Another tragic report from German pathologists, a case study on a 79-year-old man. It was proven that it was the vaccine that caused not only his decline, but ultimately his death in Germany. We have a Kaiser Permanente study featured here in this piece showing negative efficacy against all variants of COVID-19 within 150 days. The study shows the more you inject, the more you infect, specifically over time, and those with 3 doses fare much worse than those with 2. The American Association of Physicians and Surgeons posted a Twitter thread with numerous studies published throughout the past year showing a similar trend of negative efficacy resulting from the shots. You can look at those studies as well. This is one of those articles that you want to download, keep, and share, because it's just overwhelming. Public Health Scotland, with a massive study on neonatal deaths. We're seeing a surge in neonatal deaths across the globe, but Scotland is doing the studies on that. Recent surveys showing of 6,049 women from May through December of 2021 found that 292, or 4.8%, self-reported a case of decidual cast shedding, DCS, which is a rare gynecological disorder in which a woman sheds her entire uterine lining intact through the vaginal canal as if she were having menstrual bleeding. It's so rare that the authors of this paper could only find 40 documented cases in 109 years. Another study featured here in this piece by Daniel Horowitz, 5,055 miscarriages reporting to the VAERS Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Adverse events in nursing babies, and on, they're all posted here. Israeli studies from Iceland in the Journal of Medical, this is a crazy one, okay? Adverse events in nursing babies. A new study published in JAMA, the Journal for the American Medical Association. This is a big journal. This is kind of like the journal. Actually reveals that 3.5% of the women reported a decrease in breast milk supply and 1.2% reported issues with their breast milk fed infant after vaccination. Daniel Horowitz will be on with me next week. Just talked to him over the weekend, and he continues to do really great work over at The Blaze. So I highly recommend that you follow him and pull up this report. Save it and send it to any of your friends who are astoundingly maybe considering getting the booster. Now, this is the good news. The revolt is happening. There's a lot of bad out there, right? A lot of bad out there. But there's also a lot of good news. I mean, the revolt is happening. And you can see it in just this number, less than 4%. That was the NBC headline, the most recent number that we've seen of the booster uptake in the United States of America. I've mentioned this number before. This is indicative of a population, while we might not be saying it out loud, individual Americans might not be broadcasting this on their social media platforms the way they broadcasted their vaccination cards back in the dark days of 2021, where the coercion campaign was just on full swing. And despite the fact that Americans aren't saying it out loud, they're not broadcasting it to their friends and family very quietly. They are fully resisting the propaganda. And this is why fewer than 4% of Americans have had their boosters. And this is why the great resetters, the Bill Gates types, the Klaus Schwabs, the New World Order people, the pharmaceutical giants like Pfizer and Moderna are freaking the hell out. This is why they're deplatforming Dr. Peter McCullough. This is why they're attempting to deplatform the Florida Surgeon General. This is why they're passing draconian resolutions in the state of California to go after individual medical doctors and scientists who fail to carry the water, who fail to accept the mainstream narrative, the narrative of lies about the safety and efficacy of these jabs. This is why they want to move us very quickly to World War III, nuclear edition. This is why they want to train our attentions on Ukraine. This is why they want to destabilize our economy, destabilize our currency, destabilize our housing and our food prices and our energy prices. This is why they want to throw everything but the kitchen sink at we the people, whether you're in the States or you're in Europe, Canada, it doesn't matter, because they are losing the narrative. They are losing the narrative. The revolution is at hand, and there is evidence of this everywhere, everywhere. And let's get to it, because this is the good news. This is the stuff that should give you an enormous amount of hope. And this is the type of stuff that people need to understand so that we can keep it going. Steve Kirsch is talking about winning now. That's what I'm talking about. I want to win. I am over the fear. I don't know about all of you. I am over the lamentation and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and, oh, I'm so afraid of Klaus Schwab and, oh, I'm so afraid of the UN and what are they going to do and they're going to grab our guns and they're going to force jab us. I'm over it, and you should be too. It is time for us now to raise up our voices. We are standing on a massive body of evidence. There are enough of us now that are in the know. We have a robust enough independent media infrastructure to push this information out, and it is time to rage against this machine. And we are seeing it all over the globe. All over the globe. It is the bottom-up local revolt. And I just have a couple of examples here. In fact, I have a whole stack of examples. You guys are going to love this. You are going to love this. By the way, before we get to this though, California, if you've seen the headlines, we're gonna get to my big stack of local revolts that are just decimating the globalist plans. It's beautiful to watch. I love every bit of it. Before we get to that though, you may have seen the headlines. And these are false headlines. I saw a tweet from Dr. Simone Gold, and it's completely false. And I'm not trying to criticize her. I want you guys to know this is a tactic and a technique that needs to be explained and exposed. And she fell for it. She posted out to all of her followers, and it was retweeted like a gazillion times, that California has become the first state in the nation to mandate forced vaccination for all California students as a condition for entering public schools in California. And that's a completely false headline. So everyone now is freaking out about this. And people are texting me and calling me and, oh my gosh, California is so terrible and they're so evil, and as if this has actually happened. The truth of the matter is it has not happened. All right, I'm gonna bring you the actual headline. This is what actually happened. And this is a headline from Governor Newsom's own office, okay? So this is straight from the horse's mouth. This is a press release. California becomes the first state in the nation to announce COVID-19 vaccine requirements for schools. After implementing first-in-the-nation school masking and staff vaccination measures, California becomes the first state to announce plans to require in the fall of 2023. That's very different. That's very different than California has now imposed a mandate and every child that does not get the vaccination is going to be kicked out of school. That's just not the truth. It is not the case. But they use headlines like this, and they use people like Simone Gold and even conservatives to push this stuff out, to scare the pants off of people, to make people think that it has happened, that it is in place, and that it is inevitable. And if people think that, then they'll go right off the cliff. And they'll say, all right, well, it's coming anyway. It's coming. We're going to have to do it. And they will bring their children to get vaccinated because they think it's a mandate. And that is what I call it's the tactic of false inevitability. I cannot tell you how many people I have had to talk off the cliff who thought that a vaccine mandate was in place for them to do this or that or the other thing. And they would call me up and they'd say, that's it, I'm getting the vaccine because I can't go to my favorite restaurant. I can't go here or there. And I would say, well, did you look at the fine print? And then they would look at the fine print and they'd be like, oh, it isn't actually a mandate, but I thought it was a mandate because of what they said. It is designed to get people to go out and proactively get a vaccine that they think they have to get, even though a mandate is not in place. And I believe that's what's at play here in California. If California could mandate vaccines, believe me, they would do it today. They're not doing it today because they know that Californians will revolt against it. And why do they know that? They know that because less than a year ago, the LA Unified School District tried to put a vaccine mandate in place. In fact, they said, this is a vaccine mandate. You cannot come to school on this date unless you show us your vaccine card. And 36,000 LA Unified students just refused. They freaking refused. They didn't do it. 36,000. Less than 2 weeks later, LA Unified School District completely repealed their quote unquote mandate, and we're off to the races. Okay, so the point is, right, California is announcing plans, but they're not implementing or enforcing the plans because they know the people will revolt and reject it. It's a scam. If California could do it, they would do it. They're not doing it because they know they can't, all right? It's a very different thing, and the wording is very precise, and it's also a tactic. Announcing plans to require a COVID vaccination somewhere down the road is not the same as requiring a vaccination now. And so this is where the conservative media needs to get savvy, and they need to understand and not let themselves be used as a tool to perpetuate this false inevitability. I don't believe in any way, shape, or form California is gonna be able to get this in place, right? But what is tragic is that indeed there probably will be thousands, if not tens of thousands of parents who, because of these headlines, think that there's a mandate and will go out and get their child vaccinated, thus making an enormous amount of money for the pharmaceutical companies in the short term. It's sickening, and I had to address it. I'm a little bit off on a tangent, but I had to address that because I'm seeing everyone freak out about it, and it's just not the case. All right, we'll be back in a moment right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
Forget your mobile and what's the worst thing that can happen? You have to find the last payphone in Britain. Forget Valentine's Day, tricky one, but nothing a little charm couldn't solve. Forget that the dishwasher actually works a lot better if you turn it on and it's a few excuses about dodgy wiring. Forget to check the batteries in your smoke alarm, and maybe one night poisonous smoke fumes from a fire will drift silently upstairs and suffocate you or your family. Remember, test them every week. Push the button. Not your luck.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
While the mainstream media peddles fear, thousands of prominent scientists are speaking out despite a near blackout in the mainstream media. For example, CLINTEL was founded in 2019 by Emeritus Professor of Geophysics Gus Berghout and science journalist Marcel Kroc. This global network of 900 scientists and professionals make the point that CO2 is not a pollutant. It is essential to all life on Earth. Photosynthesis is a blessing. More CO2 is beneficial for nature, greening the Earth. Additional CO2 in the air has promoted growth in global plant biomass. It is also good for agriculture, increasing the yields of crops worldwide.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided, rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Global revolution. I love the ring of it. Despite the desperate attempts at global tyranny and the desperate attempts to just wrench us into World War III nuclear edition, the revolution is at hand and the evidence is everywhere. It is bottom up local revolt from Texas to New York State to Europe. People are not buying the narratives. They're not buying the vaccines. They're questioning everything. The amount of damage that's been done in terms of trust between the people, government officials, and health officials cannot be underestimated. And that's a good thing. We never should have trusted those charlatans, those snakes, those predators to begin with. We got soft. The idea that government loves you is insane. That some health official cares about you, insane. The idea that the pharmaceutical corporations are looking out for the little people is freaking insane. How we could ever, as human beings, be tricked into thinking that is beyond me. But thankfully, it seems that more and more people are waking up. And I have five examples here. I hope I can get to all five of them in this last segment of The Shannon Joy Show. But if I don't, don't worry, I'll get to them tomorrow. or the next day, we'll get to everything. This is a great headline, first and foremost. Vanderbilt Hospital. You heard this story last week on the Shannon Joy Show. Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire, amazing reporter, reporting. He is a national figure here in the States. He lives in Nashville, Tennessee. The local hospital system in his hometown, he learned, was conducting transgender surgeries and hormone replacement and all this horrible stuff, disfiguring small children in the name of gender-affirming care in his own hometown. And so Matt Walsh used his national platform on Daily Wire to home in into his own community and expose what they were doing. He brought in some of his investigative reporters. They went in, they dug up some old videos, they posted it, they pushed it out. The entire country was outraged. Vanderbilt Hospital heard it and reported just a couple days ago, following the reporting by Matt Walsh, Vanderbilt has agreed to pause all gender transition surgeries on minors. All of them. All of them. We're winning. Matt Walsh saw something happening in his local community and he pushed back. We're seeing Sarah Gonzalez do this. She is a reporter and a commentator for The Blaze, massive national news media outlet here in the United States. She lives in Texas. She is seeing the drag queen story hours and the drag queen shows, the drag shows in bars where they're bringing in small little children and exposing them to essentially sexually explicit content, borderline pornographic content. And so she is finding those incidences in her own hometown and she's pushing back against them and getting them canceled. All right. It's amazing. That is that you're stopping that global plan to dehumanize individuals and to obliterate real truths about gender and biology, essentially. And what we have, what we are seeing are people scattered throughout the United States of America pushing back in their own ways. This is what we have to do in our communities as well with whatever pulpit we have, whatever platform we have. We have Governor Abbott of Texas is now announcing that he will continue busing migrants to New York City, D.C., and Chicago until Biden does his job and secures the border. This is the first time that we've seen Governor Abbott in the almost decade that he's been a Republican governor in the state of Texas, where we've seen the worst of the illegal immigration, frankly, an invasion into our country. He's done nothing, nothing. We've had Republican presidents, Republican Congress, we've had Democrat, I mean, and we still continue to see the pouring over the border. It wasn't until, so what made Governor Abbott change his tune? Since when did he get so feisty? Well, always remember that Governor Abbott grew his balls right around the time when 33 Texas counties decided to declare invasions or signaled that they intended to do so. Organized local revolt has a funny way of pushing politicians into sane decision-making spaces. Governor Abbott would never have done this if it weren't for individuals organizing at the local level in 33 different counties across the state of Texas, which, by the way, was a red state. And they were allowing the invasion to happen. Oh, it's the federal government's fault. Oh, it's the Supreme Court's fault. Oh, it's the Democrats' fault. It's always the circular finger-pointing squad. Not me, right? When you home in on them, when we the people rise up and organize locally and we begin to scrutinize them and hold them accountable for their rhetoric in terms of discernible policy outcome, we get results. But see, we haven't done that. We haven't done that in decades. Because we sit back and we listen to Rush Limbaugh or Fox News or talk radio and we think that someone's going to come in and save us. We think someone's going to ride in and save us from all of this when that's just not the case. This is great news. Two great pieces from Jordan Schachtel that I'm not going to be able to get into tonight, I don't think, because I really don't know if we're going to have enough time, but I'll do the best I can. Two great headlines from Jordan Schachtel. First, this one. The ESG Wars, the BlackRock Davos class, meets an unexpected grassroots resistance. This was posted on Dossier. You can find Jordan and follow him on Twitter. He is doing some of the best reporting, in my opinion, on the Davos class, the BlackRock class, the Klaus Schwab's, the New World Order, the Great Reset, et cetera, and also on what is going on in Ukraine regarding Zelensky, NATO, and this march towards, this attempt to march us towards World War III nuclear edition, okay? And so he's very good. This piece is excellent. The ESG Wars, BlackRock Davos class meets an unexpected grassroots resistance. Love it. Facing a continuing global economic downturn and unexpected grassroots political revolt, the ESG, Environmental, Social, and Corporate Governance Movement for Technocratic Tyranny is meeting major headwinds. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Prior to the COVID mania era, these elite calculating networks preferred to operate in the shadows, drafting their mandates for civilization behind the closed doors at the private confabs in Davos and Washington, D.C. With the spotlight now pointed in the direction of the unelected, unaccountable forces for authoritarian rule, elected officials, activists, and pro-liberty groups are beginning to address the people's concern over the new ESG movement. If you've heard of the green transition, the great reset, or build back better, you're familiar with some of the popular phrases uttered by world leaders in the Davos class to advance their ESG movement, which is basically a takeover of everything. It's a new credit score that they've created and crafted based on your carbon footprint. And here's like the bottom line. Basically, like, you have no credit. You never will have any credit. You're always going to be in debt forever. Okay. It is a scheme to dump an enormous amount of cash on the richest 1% on the face of the planet and fleece you of everything you have. That's why, you know, the moniker, the slogan is, in the 21st century, you will own nothing and you will be happy. They will take everything from you and they will tell you that you're happy and you won't have a choice. You're happy. You'll eat bugs and insects. You'll live in a shipping container that is 400 square feet tall. You may or may not be able to have children. It depends on whether they want you to procreate. You'll be herded like cattle. You'll be numbered like cattle, and you'll be controlled for the rest of your life. And so will your children and your grandchildren, because they look at you as if you were a cat, a herd, a number. And that's just the way it is. And he explains it here. ESG is just a bumper sticker for a subversive enterprise. Under the guise of environmentalist progressive advocacy, it acts as a Trojan horse for the continuing centralization of the American financial system. Well, unfortunately, they're getting a lot of pushback. In August, both Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Texas Governor Greg Abbott took the opportunity to redirect funds away from ESG titans such as BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager. Moreover, some 19 state attorney generals have pushed back against BlackRock's hyper-political ESG advocacy and its leveraging of trillions in client funds to pursue anti-competitive gatekeeping practices. Now corporate executives are putting in their ESG plans on a holding pattern. A KPMG survey released this week found that CEOs are now hunkering down to protect short-term economic and social stability, and made very clear that they are moving away from complying with these ESG standards. Bravo, bravo, bravo. This is because you're waking up. This is because you're having conversations. This is because of an independent media. The other headline from Jordan Schachtel: why Zelensky's World War III gambit will fail. They're desperate to move us towards World War III nuclear edition. And here he explains also on his Substack why this is going to fail. It's an excellent piece, and I agree with what he's saying there. Again, it is local bottom-up resistance. And here's the last one. In my own home state of New York State, and we'll get to this tomorrow because I'm not going to have time, I'm running out. The sheriffs across New York State are revolting. This is a headline from the New York Times. Another challenge to New York gun laws, sheriffs who won't enforce it. Some say the measure, which passed after a Supreme Court opinion, ignores common sense and violates the Second Amendment. All right, so this is now between the court challenges and the hostility of many in law enforcement in New York State. New York's ambitious effort could be teetering on the brink of destruction. This is because multiple sheriffs across New York State from Wayne County, which by the way, I grew up in Wayne County, the Wayne County Sheriff to Fulton to Niagara County are saying, you know what? We are not enforcing this because it is unconstitutional. This is the way you fight back. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. So I hope I leave you with a lot of hope and a lot of optimism. Make sure you keep it tuned right here. Tomorrow we'll be back for another edition of the Shannon Joy Show.